Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to get in your word tonight. I ask you to move me out of the way that you may have the freedom to teach me and others, Lord, that we may never be the same as we see what it is to be secure in you. Father, our security is based upon you, not what we do or who we are. We thank you for tonight that you will move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, tell me, what do you guys know about the things you heard about eternal security? Even some of the churches that believe in eternal security don't like to teach the doctrine of eternal security.
They don't like to teach it because they think their members will take advantage of the fact that they can't lose it in the
Many people, you know, they think if you learn the avenue about eternal security, that you become like a daisical in your walk because you can't lose it. Does God say not to teach the truth because of what someone may do with it? Everyone is responsible for the truth that they receive. Anyone else? That's not a very long list of eternal security. Whose responsibility is salvation? Holy Spirit, right? Bring the conviction. The Son has paid the price for it. God has given His Son so that it can be accomplished. Holy Spirit brings conviction, brings in that which you don't even have to have, faith, which does not come of yourself. And now, if the Holy Spirit is going to give salvation, whose responsibility is it to keep the salvation? Definitely not ours. If it was, there'd be many of us. The difference between security and confidence, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
All right? The ice. Eternal security is the security or the confidence of your salvation?
Security.
Security of your salvation. Now, if you don't believe that, it's going to be very difficult for you to be confident in that. Why is Muslims so wired out about eternality?
They have to
gain it.
Right.
Have to gain it. And if you get so far down, the best way to make sure you got it is martyr. Martyrdom. That will eliminate all wrong if you martyr yourself. We can stop it real quick if you weren't so politically correct. Now just anybody wants to walk in and blow themselves up, just pour pig blood on them and eliminate it right away. Couldn't get into paradise with pig blood on you.
So those people on some of those airplanes that had pig blood and had gotten some on them, would they have still gone down, you think?
They may have gone down because they were mad.
But if they're defiled and they can't get in.
That's it. They would have backed off. Have the maize. Pig blood. Terrace maize. Mormons, why do they go on their 2-year missions? Earn it. Earn the aspect of becoming a god when they die so that they can get their own world, and that's why they wanted so many wives. The more wives they have, the more kids they can have, and the bigger their world would be as they will rule when they become gods. You guys know that, right?
No.
Yeah. Excuse me?
That's the LDS.
Mm-hmm. That's our God was Adam God. And the greatest glory for a Mormon woman is to be eternally pregnant.
Whoa!
To keep having children, spirit children, so that you can have more people on your earth as you become God to rule. It wasn't until the 70s that blacks could enter the priesthood and become kings, and I mean gods, when they died.
So we let people
hand out? Yeah, man. You know. You can, she can. She still had their babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I'm done.
Uh-huh. Girl, you're going to be eternally pregnant. Yeah, lots of babies. Spirit children all over the place.
Why would a black person be a Mormon now, then?
The big thing was, it was before that they was going to get the revelation, and they kept saying that, you know, the revelation is going to come, it's going to come. And the reason why they dropped polygamy was because the United States said they're going to come in and take the state of Utah from them because of polygamy, and all of a sudden God gave them a revelation. Enter the priesthood and become gods. Anyone know why?
They weren't even allowed to be members?
Oh, yeah, there's many black Mormon members waiting for the revelation. Be no different than someone said waiting for the Messiah to come today.
I thought they just weren't allowed in the church at all. Is there something that they were believed to have been descendants of someone else?
Yeah, most definitely they were descendants of neutral angels.
Why would anyone of color want to belong to a religion that says they descend from fallen angels?
The same one that would think that they came from the angels to help fight with Christ, fight race. See, there was three sets of angels when Christ and Satan fought. Satan and Jesus, to the Mormons, are brothers. Okay? From Adam God, basically. And Jesus came up, and Adam God asked, all right, how are we going to save the world? Jesus came up with a plan, and Satan came up with a plan to save the world. Adam God accepted Jesus' plan. Satan got mad and went against his brother in a fight, the great spiritual fight. The angels that went with Jesus and won became the white race. The angels that went with Satan and lost became demons. And the angels that stayed neutral became the black race. So, that's according to Mormon doctrine. That was definitely between something. And it's more like quartz.
Whatever happened to all the other religions, I mean, they have skin colors in between there.
So what would happen, the darker you are, you have to understand, Mormon belief up until the revelation in the 70s was that the darker you were, the more sin you had. So, okay? That was their belief. You and I are full of sin. Me a lot more than you. Michael Jackson started off being a neutral angel and ended up being one of the white race. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, they had Joseph Smith, who gave his life as a martyr, you know, who went out with 2 .45s, one in each hand, blasting away, give my life up as a martyr, boom, boom. And then Brigham Young, and Steve Young, his great grandfather, I think he was, the great San Francisco 49er, and what was the other quarterback from Chicago? McMahon was not a Mormon, but they let him come to school and they said, no more McMahons. No more McMahons. So you can imagine how closed one's eyes are. So they go out on that two-year mission. Men go out on that two-year mission as Mormons to secure what the eternal future is going to be. They have all kinds of weddings for the dead in the temple. People that have died and won a Mormon. They have weddings to secure them in the temple. after they're dead.
Is that what the genealogy thing is all about? Populate hereafter?
That's what the genealogy thing is all about. Anyone else knows anything else about eternal security that just rocks your world when you find out some of this stuff? I should stop being such a good teacher, you know it? You guys are getting lazy and expecting me to say everything. Oh, okay. I can't even bribe you guys to ask questions. Anyone else want to speak of what you know about eternal security?
You spend it getting to know God.
Spend eternity getting to know God. That's going to be an awesome thing. Going to be one awesome thing. All right, you guys going to be willing and ready to do some serious verses? Search for me. We're going to go through some good stuff tonight. And if we do real good, we may even get to the church. Definitely get there next week. All right, let's roll. Who will look up? Eternal security begins with God. John 6:44 and Romans 8:8-9. John 6:44. Okay, bro, you got it. And John 8:8-9. Need a reader. All right. Begins with God. John 6:44. Read real loud, my brother.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up in that last day.
No one comes to me except by the Father. Thus, it goes back to the aspect of salvation. Salvation being centered in God, begins with God. That which God has, I'll write this down. John chapter 10 is the Good Shepherd chapter. Read that when you get some time, and you can relax in what it is teaching you and I. When it comes down to the point, it says, my Father has you in his hand. No one snatches you from my Father's hand. How secure are you in the hand of God? Can you hear? Think about that. No one snatches you out of my Father's hand. Now, the only way you can lose your salvation, according to those verses we're getting ready to go through, is for God to open his hand and drop you. Now, let's look at something I think you will like. What if... Are you with me? What if this wall over there was eternal past? Okay? That wall over there is eternal past. This wall over here is eternal future. Now, somewhere between eternal past and eternal future, God says he brings you into the kingdom. You cease to have that everlasting life, which has a beginning and no end, into you step into eternality, into Christ, you become eternal. From eternal past until eternal future. Now, is there a break between eternal past and eternal future once you step into it? No. Then, if you can lose your salvation, you can't get salvation until you die. True or false? Put your mind on it. It's very, very true. It's eternally true. You see, if you step into eternality, the Word of God tells us, when do we step into eternal life? When we accept Jesus. But if you believe you can lose your salvation, you must believe you don't get it until you die. Because if you step into eternality when you accept Christ, what part am I missing that it has to end if you can lose it? if you can lose it, it never was eternal life. It was temporary life. Can't hear you. And if you had temporary life, the Bible lied to you on that when we accepted Christ. There is no break in eternality. There is no stop in eternality. There is no skip in eternality. So if you get it, when God calls you, holds you in his hand, there is no such thing as the capability of losing your salvation unless the Bible, God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit all lied to us. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I'm going to stick with the Trinity than denominationalism. Shall we move on? Romans 8.
Not by the Spirit. The Spirit of God
lives in
you, and anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ.
The Holy Spirit will not forsake us or leave us? Is that what I'm hearing? You guys are just so on top of it tonight. Am I the only one tired? Are you tired too? Let's see what you can do. Says, is anyone else tired? You can say, Jesus. He's tired of listening to us, how humdrum we are tonight. So, if we put eternal security in the proper place, the proper place must be in the hand of God through the power of the Holy Spirit by the sacrifice of the Son of God. Once they are put there, you don't have nothing to do with it. It's whether or not you're going to get crowns or not. See, God knows you and I so well that he knows that you're selfish enough to want some rewards. The flesh, talk to me, church. Are we not physically, spiritually, fleshly selfish? What is the whole reward business about? Is that for God? Because you got to understand something. Even if you get rewards for your life after becoming a Christian, it's because of what the Holy Spirit did through you, and you don't keep them, you give them back to Christ. It's the only thing you can give back to Christ for what he's done for us. Anyone ever seen the Holy Grail? Oh. East side people.
Are you talking about rewards on earth or in heaven?
Which one you think?
I think both. In some cases.
Both. Both. Anyone know what the main theme of the book of Job is? If you really look at the book of Job, as Gary was talking about Sunday. Can anyone tell me what is the bottom line truth of the book of Job? What's that?
What did Jesus get?
She's stuck on Jesus, man.
Gary would say resurrection.
Yeah, Gary's resurrection.
Every resurrection.
It boils down to, will a man serve God for nothing? The answer is no.
But Job did, right?
No. Job complained more than you and I ever did. The biggest problem was Job never lost sight of why he was complaining.
Yeah.
He said it wasn't because of my sin. God and only God's doing this to me.
That's right.
He never said Satan is doing it. He never gave credit to the devil, even though Satan did it.
His friends were trying to put it on him, but he stood his ground. But
he says, nope. God called Job a patient man because he didn't complain for three chapters. You and I would have been complaining after he took all of our stuff. Job never said a word. Took all of his children. Never said a word. Only one he didn't take that he should have taken was the woman that came and said, won't you curse God and die? And if you remember, you never heard from her again. Are we having fun tonight, or this is just me, man? I don't know what's going on, boy. Job is a perfect example that God is faithful regardless of what goes on. And if you look at him, you can serve him even if he never answers another prayer of yours, never give you another ounce of comfort or peace, never show you anything for hope. But for a while, that's what Job was. He was sitting on a dung heap after being one of the richest men in the world without scripture. Job was one of the first books ever written, biblically. Now, you how would you live? We got the book. And how do we live? And him living as the book is written. And how would you like to have friends come and sit and look at you for 7 days and not say nothing? That's the show, man. What a dude, eh? Hey? Eh?
Yes.
Begins with God. Oh, if it begins with God, guess what? It's probably going to depend on God. That's a good thing, isn't it? 1 Peter 1:5, someone please. I'm breaking that floor. All right, you got it? Real out.
You are protected by the power of God through faith for his salvation, raising you to deal in the last time.
Who are you protected by? Bobby Dog. If salvation is dependent upon the one who is protecting us, can anyone tell me anything you can do to overcome the power of God that's protecting us in our salvation? Especially, you know what, we really don't need all these if with my simple explanation of eternality. It's the simplest mind can correspond to that which says, if you got eternal life when you accepted Jesus Christ, how can you lose that which is eternal that you got sealed by the Holy Spirit, dwelt by the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Spirit of God, baptized in the Spirit, the moment you accepted it? Got some problems out there in Houston. Oh, look at that. Cannot be lost. Anyone want to throw something at the brother on this? 1 Corinthians 3. This is a real scary set of verses right here. People read these and go, oh, oh. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 15. You got it? Real loud, please.
By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it.
Hold up. As an expert builder, I have laid the foundation. Okay? What foundation is he talking about? Christ. Jesus. Very good. Excellent. He lays the foundation, and then he says, someone else builds upon that foundation. After you become a Christian, guess who the builder is on your Christian life? Guess how your spiritual abode is going to look? What kind of walls, what kind of rooms, what kind of carport, what kind of three-car garage, what kind of sugar shack you're going to have totally depends upon you building on the foundation of Jesus Christ by being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Alright? Got it? Next.
But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is.
Okay, hold it right there. Check this out. He says, you better be careful. Be very careful how you build on that foundation. No one can lay another foundation. That's Jesus. It's done. You cannot lay another foundation. You cannot come in and say, I want to get to God in a totally different way. No one can lay another foundation. All right? Now, after we become Christians, he says you start building on that, your life builds. It's only 6 types of material you can build with after you become a Christian. What is that sixth type of material according to these verses? What are they? Gold, silver, and precious stones. That they're good. Wood, hay, or stubble. Not very good. Reason why is because your works, after you become a Christian, is going to be tested by God with fire. Can I have an amen, somebody? Have you ever put fire to wood, hay, and stubble? Can I have an amen, somebody? Or you put fire to precious stones? Ooh, silver, gold.
Depends upon how hot the fire is.
Nah, not the kind of stones that God gives you. It can withstand any kind of testing fire. Can I get a witness? Huh? Now, check this out. I had a dream the other night. And TC and I had died. We was in the line waiting to see God. Talk to me, guys. And the closer I got to God, and TC and I noticed the life I had built. Come on, guys. Come on. The life I built after becoming a Christian. Woo! Hey, baby. And the closer I got to God, the bigger I saw my mouth. Woo! Mount Everest. I said, hey, TC. He goes, yeah. I said, where's your work? I see my Mount Arizona, baby. Where's yours? He goes, well, I said, oh, I see it. Your name tag covers it up. Oh, come on. Speak this line up. I want to get to Jesus. I want to get some rewards for the work. Come on, y'all know me. You can see how excited I was, right? Something now happening. The closer I got, the more I started realizing my Mount Everest was wood. Old dry hay, whole bunch of fire stubble sticks. And I'm thinking, TC, you want to go first?
And then you have to go kind of push my father. Oh, no, man, you know, you've been, we have to get up there. And all of a sudden, I noticed, I looked behind TC's name tag, and had a little bit of poppy hair with silver, gold, precious stone. So I tried to rip it off. Change sides with you. You know you wouldn't do it? You can't do it. As soon as I got up front, God tested it. My Mount Everest was gone. Smoked out. Gone.
Now, who's going to be the happiest? When TC's work is tested by fire, and my work is tested by fire, who's going to be the happiest? TC. God says, it's not the quantity of your work you do for me. It is the quality of work you let me do through you that's going to produce the silver, the gold, the precious stones. Because everything you do on your own without me may be big, may be huge, may be a Mount Everest. But when I test it with fire, it's going to be nothing but Thessalostos. That's Greek. For smoking dirt. Now, which one do you think we want to build as Christians according to these verse? Now, check this out now. It says it cannot be lost. Is that what it says? And my stuff just got burned up. What are you talking about? Can't be lost. I didn't say that works. I do can't be lost. Listen to what it says here. Watch.
Shown for what it is, as the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of next page, each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames.
Now listen to what it says. If you don't build right on that foundation, which is Jesus Christ, you are going to suffer loss. What is going to be the loss? The work that you built on after you became a Christian. If it's wood, hand, stubble that you did on your own efforts, trying to be good, running by your own rules and regulations, God's going to catch you by fire, they are gone. He says, you're going to suffer the loss of the work you've done to receive a reward to give back to Christ. But even though you yourself has lost all your works, you will be saved. So what part is going to be saved? Salvation. It's the salvation that can't be lost. That's when someone says, well, a person comes to know the Lord and just walk off, now, everything they did after they became a Christian is going to burn. Saved but singed. Be walking around heaven with smoke on their breath. Can I have an amen, somebody? Well, they're going to be there, because who makes the salvation? God. Someone accepts Christ right at the last. Someone lived their whole life. That person that accepts at the last may have more precious stones, silver and gold, than a person who's been a Christian for 30 years living on their own effort. According to those verses. And guess what I'm going to go with, guys? Those verses. They are the greatest apologetical verses anywhere to tell you about what's going to be lost and what is not going to be lost. You can't get better verses than those. Okay? Oh, so, since we know that it depends on God, since we know we cannot lose it, then we must live in peace instead of running around having 2-year deals trying to do everything to make sure our 2 years get enough so we can be God. Running around, maybe I got a martyr. The only way I'm going to get into heaven is to become a martyr so that I know I can get my 72 Virginians. Oh, I'm sorry. I hadn't told you guys that joke, have I?
I thought that was Virginia.
You know, Osama bin Laden died. And when he got to heaven, George Washington came back and started beating him up. Goes, man. Goes a little further, Patrick Henry. Beat him up. And every time he ran by somewhere, they was just beating him up. He goes, whoa, God, what's up? You supposed to give me 72 virgins. He said, oh no, 72 Virginia. Some of you get it on the way home. And then the other one is, he's going to get not 72 virgins, but one 72-year-old virgin. I can make a man say, can I have an amen? Live with peace. If you know you have your salvation, rest. Rest in it. Rest. Rest, 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 rest. Let me give you a little idea what I talk about when I use this example with my wife. My wife knows, regardless of what she ever does, I never leave her. She knows it. I don't care what she does. My commitment to her and God has nothing to do with what she does. She can make it easier. She can make my commitment easier. Can I have an amen? But she can't make or break my commitment. I'm the only one who can do that. My wife knows for a fact her marriage with me is eternally secure as long as we live on this earth. Now, two things can happen. She goes, idiot. My husband's an idiot. And she can take advantage of that commitment, knowing I never leave. Or she can rest in that I would never leave, not spend her time trying to win me, but knowing she doesn't have to win me because she already has me, she can spend time on finding out how to please me. God says we have too many Christians so worried about losing their salvation, they don't have time figuring out how to please God. They just keep trying to make sure they don't lose their salvation. Now, which one is the greatest love? The ability to know that she is secure in our relationship and marriage, that regardless of what she does, because if she's a bad character in the marriage of a commitment like that, who made the choice of bringing her into the commitment? It's me. Thus, she's free. She can live in peace. And she don't have to do things to win me. She's just spending her time in pleasing the husband who's totally committed to her. That's what our security in God should do to us. Quit trying to win what you already have and spend time on pleasing the God who gave you that type of relationship. Are you having fun now?
Yeah.
Jesus had no fun. Should we move on? Is that just good stuff right there? Huh? That stuff right there make your liver quiver, huh? Make your spleen lean, Jack. Woo-hoo! Having a God that soul after you and I should set us free to live in peace. All right, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. All right, you got that? Who read Romans 15, 13? I need another hand. All right.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Think about a life like that. Think about a family and a home where everyone lived that way. Think about a home. What would it be like? Woo-hoo! Peaceful, baby, peaceful. Romans 15, see? Really? That amazing. How can you live that type of life, guys, if you're fighting for your salvation? God says, I'm going to make it secure so that you can live in the peace that the Holy Spirit wants to give you once you move into it. It's only your thoughts and other man's thoughts that get you out of that belief. Never God. All right. This is going to be goody. Goody, goody, goody. Eternal security. They shall not perish. We're going to go through these. You have an opportunity to look at those yourselves. They are great. Come on, come on. What's up? What's up? Broken. We have our church, you remember the barbecue?
We missed it.
Yeah, you did. I hadn't changed the date yet.
So,
hey, baby. It'll be 2006, of course. I think it's the third Saturday. I'm not sure, but we have it up. We'll fix that up for you. Give you the dates when we're going to have the new members barbecue. It's going to be great this year. It's not going to be... Usually we have like three classes for me and then two or three classes for Sunday. So it's a menagerie. But this year is just going to be our one class. And one or two, I think, on Sunday. So we have good, intimate time. And I'll only let the dogs out when I want you to leave. You will never perish because of the Savior's blood. Got to understand, Christ paid it for us through His blood. If Christ's blood cannot keep you secure, then that means He died in vain. He shed His blood for nothing. And I don't think God does anything for what? Nothing. The Savior's Word. John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was? The Word was? And the Word was? Get that mixed up, don't we? Now listen, do you understand when God promises all the way down to John 17 that I will not lose any that has been given to me except the son of perdition, which means Judas, who was never saved? That if you can lose your salvation, God's word isn't good enough. Do you understand how many things have to fail for us to lose our eternal security, our salvation? You know, I don't know what they call eternal security, because what it means is, can you keep your salvation or not? Savior's power. If we can lose our salvation, God is not powerful enough to keep you who wants to run from Him. I'm not hearing anything. Yes, my cousin, my brother, my little white buddy.
That means that if you think you lost it, you really didn't. You never had it to begin with.
If you think you lost it,
like sure,
you got one or two. Either you never had it, which you couldn't lose it.
Well, I was thinking of Judas because
he never had it. Right.
And he killed himself, so
he couldn't get it.
He couldn't get it back anyway. Too late.
Unless God went and preached to him in purgatory. Just kidding. All right. Now, you can never had it and think you lost it, or you can have it and think you lost it.
But you don't really lose it if you have
it. If you got it, he's got you. You don't have him.
Right. It's the other way around. You're going to come back sooner or later.
Oh, yeah. Like a bouncy ball.
Yeah, I know.
Or he'll just bring you to heaven.
Yeah.
Can I have an amen from somebody? Oh, come on, you guys, man. You can be more enthusiastic than that. This is good stuff. The Savior's hand, that John 10, 28, that I'm telling you about. Who holds on to who? Jesus holds on to you. Jesus said, no, he doesn't hold on to you. The Father holds on to you. Okay? And no one, sounds like Jesus, though, doesn't it? I like Jesus, too. What's so important is this. No one snatched you out of my hand. And if you can lose your salvation, you are something else. Sin is more powerful than God's hand. You got to admit it, folks. You have to admit it. You can beat around the bush. You can do anything you want. But we can move ourselves, not height, not depth, not darkness, not pain, not principalities, not powers. Not any created thing, Romans 8, can separate you from the love of God. I just want to ask you a question. Are you a created thing? If you are, you can't even remove yourself. Are we excited or what? Bruce Leroy. Man, if I kick like Bruce Lee right now, y'all had to carry me to my truck. I'd be screaming, but it would be because I'd be in pain. Help the black man. Somebody help the black man. Just don't pack up and leave me here. Huh? Save his hand? Oh, this is, I love this one. Whoa! Can you hear you? Now, this is a smoker. If you can lose your salvation, Jesus' prayer didn't work. How many of Jesus' prayers did God not answer? Some say one. Some say one. I'm not going to laugh about that, though.
He didn't take him off the cross.
He didn't take him off the cross.
When he asked
him. Come on, Lucy, Lucy.
When he asked him, he didn't take
him. Ah, Lucy, Lucy, did he ask him to get off the cross? He didn't say, take me off this cross. Can't hear you. What did he pray? What did he say? Let this cup pass. What is the cup? What death? Becoming sin and be totally, for the first time since eternity to pass, be separated from the other two of the Trinity. No, God didn't say no. God answered his prayer. What was that? What did I hear? I heard, what did he say?
Your will be done.
Your will be done. He didn't ask without the the condition. Not my will. Your will be done. God answered his prayer. Yes.
So does that mean that when he said that he was feeling the effects of all that accumulated sin of everybody? Like you feel your own sin?
He didn't become sin until 12 noon.
And that's...
Whoo, did the pastor, did the pastor look at that boy? Think about that guy. He felt the separation coming. The foreknowledge of that made him sweat like great drops of blood. From eternity past, they've never been separated. The bitter cup is becoming sin and for God the Father and God the Holy Spirit to turn their back on him. That's the bitter cup. Not death. Why would he ask not to let me die when he was born on earth 33 years prior to that to die? If there was any other way to pay for your sin and our sin, God, who is all knowledgeable, would have done it. And if there's no other way than Christ dying once, you and I can understand there's no other life on any other planet. Yes.
There was in that anguish for the whole 3 days that he was before he rose again, after he died?
No, I mean, he's only in anguish right before he became sin. That night, praying in the garden. Then when he got up, that was taken care of. And the peace that he felt in the garden, hold on to your hat, the peace that Christ felt in the garden is the same peace that you and I feel when we allow God to move in our lives in difficult situations. The exact same peace that Christ felt is what you and I feel if we give our life to the Lord in difficult times. If you want to feel like Christ, that's one way you can do it. Oh, woo-hoo! I should get excited with this. I wonder if that would be Jesus just falling with a heart attack. And everyone just going to sit and look at me kick. Got to sweat blood. Yeah, I was running. Is that just heavy right there? That is just absolutely amazing to me that I can feel the same peace that Jesus got in the garden. When he prayed, John 17, he says, I would not lose anyone that you've given me, and I go to prepare a place for them, and I have many rooms in our mansion, and you will be safe. Because you're going to keep those that you've given me. I have lost not one, except the son of perdition, who never was mine. Let me tell you something, guys. Someone tells me I can lose my salvation, I think they're the worst teacher and hypocrite in biblical history. Because they're making it up. You can't even get it from the Bible except for one or two verses that don't mean what they translate it for. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It has nothing to do with keeping your salvation. It has everything to do with live out what he has already given you. And if you want that peace that passes all understanding, look at it! See? Oh! You need to hear me! Jesus' life wasn't enough to pay for my sins. If Jesus' life wasn't enough to pay for my sin, who had no sin, who became sin? Woo! What are you and I going to do to make it right for God? Sell our cars? Sacrifice our living? Start going down some self-denial? Oh, that's really going to make us holy. I'm not going to take this trip to Hawaii because I want to suffer for Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Take me to heaven. God never asked you to live a self-denial life. He said he wants you to live a deny-self life. Major difference. Eons difference. Mega trip, mega truth, mega deepness difference. You see, if you don't have a self-denial life, you think you're part enough to think about self. God says, you're not part enough to even bring you up.
There's peace in the belly.
I guess I shouldn't get excited about this. It's just boring stuff anyway. Church kind of thinks about it that way. Man, but my sake, I am secure. That's my biggest problem. I think I am extremely secure. And I believe it. I live it. You know how hard it is to put someone down that totally thinks I win? At the end, I just believe I win, regardless of what the score is. I win, because I'm coming back. So you might as well let me win it first, then get rid of it. Give me an amen from somebody. Well, I'm going to be your pastor, and your pastor live that way. You never, the Savior's love? The Savior's love's got to fail in order for you and I to lose our salvation. Isn't that? Yes, something. Talk to the pastor. Talk to the pastor. Thank you. I didn't think it was going to come, man. Some response sometime in a white audience. Come on. Alex, hold up the brotherhood, bro. I don't know what TC is. He's still over there moping about his little bit of piece of silver and diamond under his name tag. Hee-hee. Well, well, well. Let's see what else has to happen. Okay? Yes.
Your use of the term Savior with the set shifts between God and Jesus?
It wouldn't, would it?
Between the set?
Yeah. Be safe.
It's not
it'd be the Trinity, again. Right?
Well, no, I'm talking about the roles.
Your roles.
Okay.
It'd be the Savior who's paid for all that. It'd be the role. Even his death, even his payment was solidified in the Father. See?
Right.
So it's based upon him. All that.
But Christ.
Yes.
But it's not Christ's hand, it's God's hand.
Yes, but he said, my Father's hand and I, my hand are the same.
So that's
true or false?
Well, if you said it, I mean, if the Bible says it.
The Bible said it's true.
Right.
And said, no one snatches out of our hand. So, but Jesus would do what? He would give the glory to himself, or he would give his glory to
God.
The Father. And that's our example of what we should do.
Right.
Okay, would that help?
Yep.
Okay.
No, no!
Alright. God will have to deny his word.
No!
God will have to remember my sins after he forgives me. He cannot be filled with the Spirit unto death. Remember that one? If you got eternal life when you accept, you cannot expect to get eternal life until you die without the capability of sinning again. Does that make sense to everybody now? If it doesn't, come on, speak up. What's that? Okay, this is the most important aspect of eternal life. If eternal life has no break in it that we've talked about, if you get it when you first become a Christian, you move into eternality, eternal past, eternal future. Thus, does eternality, eternal life, have a break in it? If you get it when you became a Christian, there's nowhere in the world you can do anything to lose it. But if a person says you can lose your salvation, then the only time they can get eternal life is when they die. They can't get it when they're alive because if they do something to lose it, they broke eternally, became temporary. So they don't want to admit that. Plus, it says in Hebrews, if you lose it, you can't get it back because you can't re-crucify Christ twice. Now that's the part they don't like to teach. Can I have an amen? If you can lose your salvation, then Hebrews 6 makes 1 John 1:9 a lie. Everyone understand the difference between 1 John 1:9 and Hebrews 6, right? Hebrews 6 says you can't get it back. 1 John 1:9 says if you confess, he forgives you of all your sins. There has to be one that 1 John 1:9 one covers. You can lose your salvation and not get it back. Okay? So as far as me and my house, I'm going to stick with the one you can't lose.
I can see how somebody can get that idea, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, I was telling you about my Victorian grandmother.
Yeah.
And how many times do you hear people say, well, if you don't do that, you're going to burn.
You don't burn like a Jimmy Dean Pure Folk Sausage?
Well, yeah, but that's not true.
It's not true, if you're a believer.
But
it can scare you to death, can't
it?
Yeah.
I don't know with that idea.
Hey. We must be taken out of Christ and put back into Adam if you lose your salvation. Think about that. We got to be taken out of the first Adam, put back in the second Adam, when we was taken out of the second Adam and put in the first Adam. I see puzzle faces. We're born in sin, the first Adam, which is really the second Adam. Right? Who is the first Adam? Jesus. Say it. Jesus, right? Absolutely. So, the first Adam is Jesus, the second Adam is Adam and Eve. We was born into the second Adam, sin. We are cleansed from our sins through salvation with the Holy Spirit and our confession to put us back in the first Adam, Jesus. So if we can lose our salvation, we got to be taken back out of the first Adam and put back into the second Adam, into the flesh. What ding-dong came up with this? Okay?
No, no.
The blood, the power, the hand, the prayer, the life, the love of Jesus Christ will be to know him now and raise it. And we can lose our salvation. That is good. That is good. Don't get us. Talk to the pastor. Excuse me. Talk to the pastor. It's good, isn't it? And you have every verse in the world in that section, that second page, that could kill any argument about losing salvation. Yes, ma'am. That was last week. Remember, who is the first Adam? I'm saying Jesus because the Bible said it is. Isn't that amazing? And you can look through, I want to say Hebrews, one of the epistles. But he is the first Adam. Okay? Because all was going to be born out of him. And it was created. He created who? All, listen, this is what you look at. Jesus Christ, not God the Father, not God the Holy Spirit, created everything. All life was created through the Son. Who created Adam then? Not the Father, it was Jesus. So he started the human race in holiness. So who was the first Adam? Jesus created the first Adam out of nothing. Okay? Then everyone else was made out of first Adam, who created the second Adam, and then sin came into place. So the second Adam became the first Adam of a sinful world. Okay? So that flesh produced all sin. So what God had to do was to get everyone to be saved back out of the second Adam, who's living in the flesh, transfer it back to the first Adam, who has made us right before God in the first place. Thus, if you lose your salvation, you got to be taken back out of the first Adam again and put back in the second Adam, which is not going to ever happen. Did that help? Okay. Would you like another question? Okay, good. Yes, ma'am. Was the second Adam saved? Oh, most definitely. That's why he hid. That's funny. I'm sorry. He had a perfect relationship with God before sin. He had to be saved. It's perfect. Even in the perfect relationship with God without sin, God said it's not good for man to be alone. Now, think about that. Anything else? Hear you. Now, I had a question back there somewhere.
Over there.
About that, when God was thinking about that one. Even though Adam was in perfect relationship with God, it was not good to be alone.
Keep thinking.
The good stuff to think about. And if you realize that, you treat your mates better. God says that the only thing that was good, better than you having a one-on-one relationship with him, having a perfect relationship with another human being of the opposite sex that you call your wife or your husband. Not just another person. Says a mate. Can I have an amen with that? Sin would have to be stronger than God's forgiveness. Oh my goodness.
I wish you could just shut your yap.
I'm sorry, y'all. Are y'all moved? Then the only way to lose your salvation is to never have had it in the first place. Okay? That's very, very important there for people. Very important. But watch out. Baptist Church will be mad at me if I start moving like this. How you guys like this?
All right. Good.
Not bad, huh? Now check this out. Next week we're going to get this. How you spell church? You see, the church isn't the church until you are in it. What can I say, folks? Huh? 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 The church is not the church until you are in it. We think the church is a building.
Not this church.
We are the church. Church, walk in. Hey, hey, hey. So that's where we start next week. That's pretty clever, though, don't you think? That's a sick man to come up with stuff like that.
Amen.
I'm going to pray. Lou, you and I need to pray for your husband. It's going to be great, man. Ooh. Salvation, knowing you have it, secured, turns you free, not to work to keep it, but turns you free to be obedient as the bride of Christ, to reflect Christ, and not spend your time trying to keep your salvation, but working it out as the church. And you'll see how the body works, showing Christ, as we go through this. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the opportunity we have to hear you. You are our God and you are good. We praise you for the whole aspect of eternal security. Nothing greater in all the world. No more security in our life, Lord, than that. So, Lord, help us to drop trying to keep our salvation, but concentrate on pleasing a God who would never take it. In Jesus' name, amen.